Our scripture for this morning is the end of the Beatitudes, reading from the New International Version, and then a little passage from 1 Corinthians, and this is from the Christian Standard Bible. You'll find this on the back of your bulletin. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." That's from 10 through 12. That's all one beatitude. It all goes together. And then from 1 Corinthians 2, 9, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and he says, "But as it is written," and he took this from Isaiah 64, "what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him." And I'll deal with the relevance of that scripture in a little while. You know, we are made by our Creator to be a reflection. We're to be the very image of our Creator. And that is, we are made to love. We are made to be loved. Even more, a bit more simply, but very much the truth, we like to be liked. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go all through life with everyone liking us? Well, here's the thing. I'd say many of you, maybe most of you, have been faithfully and graciously, and I thank you for that, here together in this morning worship service in our precious Bosquedale Baptist Church for these past several weeks, seven of them, and now this being the eighth. And we've been learning again from Jesus how to be a liked person. We're supposed to live relating to everyone with an attitude and actions of one who truly loves, loves everyone in the same way, the real reflection of how God loves. You see, Jesus broke it down for us in a list of very understandable and forthright terms, and we've named the list the Beatitudes. And, well, oh, so importantly, Jesus, the complete image of his Father God, told us that if we lived this way, we would be a blessed person. The way some people have translated this teaching, we, and I'd like to get a little more personal now, you would be a happy person. Remember what he said? He said, "Be poor in the depths of yourself, in your very spirit," that is, in comparison to the perfection of your master, not relating to the world, to anyone as a proud and boastful person, poor in spirit, just a humble person anyone would like. And he also said, be a person who wants to be a righteous person, righteous like our Maker wants us to be righteous. You know, the genuine image of God, the absolute righteous one, image of that, wanting that so much that we're just consciously hungry for it, we're thirsty for it, thirsty for living out that kind of righteousness as you relate to everyone, as you relate to anyone. Oh, and I'm sure you remember this thing Jesus said right at that same time that I'm talking about right now, when he was laying out these life goals for you as one of his special followers. He said, "My Father in heaven wants you to be always recognized as a merciful person." You know, in any and every situation you encounter, when where a hurting or damaged person is needing your mercy, your compassion, your kindness, your sympathy, maybe even your forgiveness, your response to and with that person is kindness and understanding, that kind of merciful relationship with anyone who needs the help of compassion. And see, that was three of the Beatitudes that I just gave you. And I could go on because Jesus kept on teaching us. His teaching was that you are to be genuinely that person who lives out these personality or character traits in all of your life. A clearly pure person, always down to the deepest depths of your heart. A person whose goal it is to be at the forefront of seeking godly peace. And when peacemaking will be needed right then and there, you're to be there, and so on. You know where to review those seven goals of the godly character of your life, right? You know Matthew chapter 5, verses 3-9. And he also said every time he gave us another step in those character goals, he said, as you do this one and this one and also this one, all the way down the list, he said, you live this way and you will be blessed by God, your Heavenly Father. And the way that blessing will come to you is that you will be a happy person. You'll live a happy life. You could say, this is the way everyone, including God, will like you, will want to be your friend. Well, you can be sure that God is going to respond to you in that way. He's going to love you and like you. However, Jesus lived in reality, and he finishes this list out dealing with the reality that not even living out your life in those first seven Beatitudes is going to result in everyone liking you. That's precisely what happened to Jesus. He lived out the complete, perfect model of a Beatitude life, and unfortunately, not everyone liked him. And that brought Jesus, and he brings us now to this absolute truth. And that is because humankind is flawed with sinful nature. Sinful nature always gnawing at us, always pushing to control us. And we give in unless we seek God's help to resist sin. If we don't, sin will make us reject godliness. And that includes, that sin will make us reject godly people and their godly ways. And we'll be some of those that are not liking that. So, to deal with that reality and to teach us how to deal with it, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you. These are the persecutions. Insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, that beatitude, number 8 on the list, is rather long, isn't it? And that's because of more than one reason, and I'll get to that. But first, I'm going to give you a reminder, because you don't have it in print right now in front of you, and it's been 6 or 7 weeks since we started with the first beatitude. And that first one was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to hear that again. The reward part of that first beatitude, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, look at your scripture on today's bulletin. Look at the reward that's there for verse 10. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sounds like something you've heard before. See, both the beginning of the rewards in Beatitude 1 and the ending of the rewards in Beatitude 8, both are the same, and both are in the future. Your beginning reward points you to the ultimate reward, And when you finish all this out and you're living out the righteousness, all of the life traits of the Beatitude that you know we pointed you to, you'll be with God, where God is. You'll be in the kingdom of heaven. And while you're at it, go back and look at the rewards sometime named by Jesus for the other six, for Beatitudes 2-7. And you'll find that those rewards are not for the future, they're for the here and now. You see, you'll be comforted, you'll inherit the earth, you'll be filled with righteousness, you'll be shown mercy, you'll see God, and you'll be identified as in God's family. You'll be called a child of God. Those are the other six. So you go back to the start, and because you are poor in spirit, you start out recognizing that as you live out those next six Beatitudes, you know that being godly in this life is great, but the poorness, the humbleness of you, of your own spirit, recognizes that you are only imitating God's perfect living. You're not becoming God. And then to end it up in this last Beatitude, number 8, you've been trying your hardest and always trying with the Spirit's help to live out this life, to live out these Beatitudes, number 2-7, and that will be a life of God-led righteousness. But sin leads wrong-thinking people to persecute you in the here and now. That's all a part of that. It's a reality. It's what happened to Jesus. You see, persecution comes in many forms. Insults against you, harassment, unfair accusations, all the way up to actual martyrdom. All kinds of evil, Jesus said. Jesus says, persecution because of me, because you love Jesus, because you live and witness for Jesus, because you are willing to die for the sake of Jesus, persecuted by someone or by many, you stand fully and completely for Jesus, you in turn will suffer persecution. But then Jesus has said, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And so right now I'm going to suggest that all of the injuries that can be inflicted on a human being, strong persecution possibly comes the closest to making life hard to live. But how about this? If that's true, this final beatitude of Jesus almost seems contradictory. Maybe it's one of the most difficult, maybe the most difficult of the Beatitudes to really say, well, I believe that. I want to believe that. Well, the reason for this difficulty is that persecution seems to be the direct opposite of happiness. Mm-hmm. Blessed, maybe, but happy? And even beyond that, it seems like a strange statement to come from such a compassionate Savior. How can we understand this kind of thing when he congratulated those who were persecuted and he encouraged them to rejoice in their persecution? Obviously, there's a paradox that might need a bit of explanation. But let me back up for just a minute. That word paradox. You know what paradox means? What does it mean? Well, I'm not sure I could state the definition of it, but I'll give it to you. A paradox is a statement that seems self-contradictory, or maybe even absurd, but in reality, it expresses what is a possible truth. That's a paradox. So this rejoice in your persecution, that's really kind of a paradox. So blessed, happy are those who are persecuted. It seems incredible that our Lord would say something so contradictory. And there are many over the years who, before they give a lot of thought to it, have come to believe that it is possibly the most confusing assertion Jesus ever made. But the truth is, it is a paradox that a person can be happy when suffering. How can anybody be happy when they're being persecuted physically, or are being lied about or slandered or even worse? Well, for one thing, that kind of persecution encourages anyone to self-examination. And if you do that seriously, it pretty much always makes a person a bit happier once they've done that self-examination. Well, all that bad stuff, you know, was because I was standing with Jesus. And that's good, I was standing with Jesus. That makes me happy. I'm glad that this came along because it helps me to understand that. But here's a caution. We must be careful to avoid coming to the conclusion that we are suffering for righteousness' sake each time we are persecuted. And that's what perhaps we should, maybe this should cause us to wonder if we shouldn't ask ourselves whether we really do measure up to the preceding Beatitudes. Are we living that kind of life? Well, speaking of measuring up to that, you know, no one has ever embodied the Beatitudes more perfectly than Jesus Christ himself. Yet, you know, he was the most hated advocate of what has become the Christian faith. So, seen correctly, persecution that comes to us because of our relationship to Jesus affords an opportunity to demonstrate our loyalty to Christ. We can stand up and say, no, I stand with Jesus. And the church and individual Christians who dare to stand by the principles of Christ must be prepared for persecution. It's going to come somewhere. Do you think you're prepared to be persecuted? I think if we're going to really go with Beatitude number 8, we should be prepared. To stand faithfully by our Savior's side does bring persecution, but it also brings happiness, and it brings even more. Our happiness is cemented by that great promise of this final Beatitude, or maybe I should say promises. Well, what do I mean by plural promises? Well, Jesus says explicitly that all who endure persecution will be rewarded. It's a promise made only to those who suffer for righteousness' sake, who suffer for Christ's sake. And I say promises because it's actually a threefold promise. It's a present promise. Even in the midst of persecution, you can enjoy this promise. You can just, right now, you can. It's for here and now, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not theirs will be the kingdom of heaven. For theirs, those who are persecuted, is the kingdom of heaven. It becomes a reality every day. But it's also a future promise. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Well, that's where your reward, your great reward is. Is when you get to heaven. The Apostle Paul must have been aware of this promise when he wrote to the Corinthians, which this one is our other scripture for today. As it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. You see, we don't know yet. We haven't seen, we haven't heard. Our hearts have not conceived how great it's going to be. Mm-hmm. What God has prepared for us when we get there. And then it's not only past or present and future, it's a perennial promise. It's an all the time promise. It's always promise. You see, Jesus continued, For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, and this is a promise of being identified with God's chosen people, a promise that is realized in the past, in the present, and in the future. They who were persecuted in the past are blessed this way. You will be blessed this way. Y'all later will be blessed this way. To suffer persecution is to walk the same road as the prophets and the martyrs. And it's a tragic but biblical road that some martyrs around this globe are walking and suffering with joy, even in our present age, in our 21st century. To suffer for what is right is to be part of a great succession of persecuted for God. You know, in America, it is so easy for Christians to live comfortable and safe lives. We really do often forget that kind of persecution of Christians that is rampant, even now in many parts of the world. When I speak of insults and that kind of thing, it's rampant in our own world, right around us. Amen. So whether the persecution comes in an open threat on one's life or in insidious words spoken, sometimes even by other people in the church, you today must be willing to suffer persecution for righteousness' sake. You must be, if you want to experience the happiness that Jesus has promised. And I'm proud to join in that promise that Jesus has given us. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It continues to bless, to make happy those who endure any kind of persecution for righteousness' sake. And I say, as we conclude this few weeks of study of the Beatitudes, thank you, Jesus, for giving us the guidance of the Beatitudes. Amen? Amen. Well, God bless us.